Good evening. I call this February 1st, 2022 meeting of the Planning Commission to order. My name is Darrell Bolziger. I am the Vice Chairman of the Planning Commission, and it is my pleasure to welcome you. This is a public meeting, and you are encouraged to be part of the process. Please participate, ask questions, and share your thoughts. We have several rules to help us proceed with an orderly meeting, and I ask that you keep them in mind. Turn off your cell phones. If you need to make a call, step outside the chamber. When you wish to speak, simply raise your hand. I will recognize you and ask you to come to the podium. Secretary Jones must record who you are, so please state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Keep your remarks brief, about 3 minutes, so others have an opportunity to speak. However, focus on your comments and we'll keep track of your time. This meeting is being conducted in accordance with the Nebraska Open Meetings Law. A copy of the Open Meetings Law is posted at both exits for your reference. I will now call for a roll call of members.
Haluska?
Here.
Neff?
Here.
Katie? Hansen?
Here.
Fox? Schroeder?
Here.
Bolziger?
Here.
Heinrich?
The next agenda item is going to be election of the chair and vice chair for 2022. Is that that's something you do? Who runs the election?
What's that?
Who runs the election?
You do. Then.
Okay.
As vice chairman, you go ahead and run the election.
I'd like a nomination.
Until the chairman's elected, and then that person would take over the finish.
I'd like to open nominations for chair. The commission.
I would nominate Darrell Bolziger.
Darrell Bolziger has been nominated. Any other nominations?
Second that nomination.
So, close the nominations. I guess you need to vote on that. So please register your vote. So now I want to open the commission to a nomination of a vice chair. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to nominate Joe Pleska.
Second.
Any other nominations? I'm going to close the nominations and please vote. Got to use the board?
Yeah, we'll have to use the board. Commission members voting aye, Neff, Hansen, Schroeder, Bolziger, abstaining, Haluska.
Can't vote for yourself.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I was surprised you didn't say no.
Okay, item number four, approval of minutes from December 7, 2021 meeting. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Motion by Bolziger, second by Haluska to approve the minutes. Any further discussion or amendments? Please register your vote. Item number five. We're going to have a public hearing to consider a conditional use permit submitted by Steve and Cheney Doolin, 1818 Lincoln Street, Blair, Nebraska, for a detached garage located in the rear yard on the east one half of Lot 25 and all of Lots 26 and 27 in Block 44, City of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska. 1818 Lincoln Street for the life of the primary structure.
Well, good evening, Commissioners. Congratulations to newly elected and welcome to 2022. Tonight, first for your consideration, we have the conditional use permit application by Steve and Cheney Doolin, 1818 Lincoln. The zoning is Central Business District, CCB. In CCB, single-family dwellings are an accepted use and require a conditional use permit, which has already been granted on the property and expires in 2027 of June. An accessory structure is also an accepted use and requires a conditional use permit. The request for this permit is for the life of the primary structure, so the, if it's okayed and approved, it would be the conditional use permit, accessory structure, a detached garage, would last as long as a primary structure. There is no maximum lot coverage. The setback is 5 feet for either the side yard and the rear yard in CCB, and this garage will be 28 by 30 or 800 square feet, which is the maximum allowable size. This right here shows the CCB district with the zoning overlay. Their place is right there. This is without the zoning lane, the primary structure right here. This is the area they wish to build. The garage will be entered from the alley, and they'll make a turn this way. However close it is to the house, we don't regulate the width or the space in between. Whatever regulations that'll have will be on the building department, IRC will require if they're within 10 feet extra fire rating on the construction. This is a look of the backyard right now from the alley. This is looking south, straight into the backside of the house. Another view, the garage apparently will be in this area here. This shows where the alley is 20 feet, even though the existing building, Taylor Quick Pick and the other garage there from the corner lot are probably a little bit encroaching on the 20-foot alley. The alley is indeed 20 feet, and the property line starts about this area there. This is supplied by the applicants. This is what they envisioned the garage to look like. This would be the entrance and wall. This is the application for the actual primary structure conditional use permit. So right here, and this is something to look at, I was not exactly clear on it before. Rod and I had a discussion on it. If something would happen to the primary structure, unlike ACH where if it's more than 50%, it's gone. Because it's a conditional use permit and permitted that it's an accepted use, it is still there. So if by chance this house would burn down, the permit for the primary structure is good till 2027. So they would be able to rebuild that structure as long as this conditional permit is enforced. Right now it shows the original one, 2012, approved for 15 years in 2012. This is a copy of the transfer of the conditional use permit, so the applicants do know that they do have a conditional use permit on the house, and they have to be back for renewal. Now possibly along with the garage, if that is, if they choose to say we only have the garage for X amount of years, or if they want it to run in paralleling the primary structure. And with that, any questions for staff?
Now, the conditional use permit that's current going on the house is until 27.
Yes, 15 years from June 12th, 2012.
Wouldn't this garage be part of that conditional use permit, or is this its own separate thing, and that why it goes along with the house?
It would be its own separate conditional use permit, and if okayed, it would run with the life of the primary structure. Unless you guys choose to do it differently. That's really up to your prerogative.
The answer would be is that with this expiring in 27, the approval of that special use should be tied to that same date so that they would renew in the future together, you know, based upon. Because if the primary structure doesn't renew, then you don't have an accessory use, and you can't have accessory without the primary.
That's why I was asking.
The motion to approve should include language that it expires with the existing special use permit.
That's why I was asking, because they're asking for as long as the structure is there.
Right.
Which is longer than, hopefully longer than 27.
Well, yes.
That's why I was confused.
So as you see right here, it talks about the conditional use permit is property is for to allow the property to be occupied as a single family residence, not necessarily structure, but the property be as a single family for a single family structure.
So if the house burned down and they could rebuild and still keep that garage?
Yes, as long as it was within the life of this conditional use permit.
If it burns down before 2027, if it's after 2027, they got nothing. Unless they get another conditional use permit, they get put in and come back.
And it would be able to apply for renewal.
Renewal permit.
As it comes in, yes.
I just want to make sure you have that right, because it sounded like what Rob was saying was that we should actually tie it to the 2027 conditional use permit. And not life structure.
That is certainly the prerogative of the commission. So yes, if that was what you would prefer and would advise for planning commission, you should.
Any more questions of the staff? Is the applicant here and would like to come up and address this?
Hello.
State your name and spell your last name and address.
My name is Steve Doolin. Last name is D-O-O-L-I-N. Our address is 1818 Lincoln Street in Blair.
Thank you. Questions of the applicant?
I got a couple. One. Pulling in off of that alley and turning into that, is there going to be enough room there with the setbacks and stuff? I was trying to envision. I own the building right.
Sure.
The State Farm building right next to it. Is there going to be room to actually turn and go into that garage, sir?
Well, the radius is our contractor, Drew Harson, is here as well. That's going to be doing the building if it gets approved. But we've actually extended the width of the garage door so that the radius is a little bit, so it won't be a 16 foot door, it'll be 18. So we'll be able to make that radius a little bit easier for that turn in that you're asking about. So I think that will help.
I want you getting a bind that.
Right.
That's how we did at our house.
And
18.
Okay.
It helps a lot. Yeah.
We also own two small vehicles, and then I've got an old toy, a CJ5 1978. That's pretty small, too. So we don't have big, long vehicles or anything.
What's your garage? 24 by 30?
28 by 30, yes, sir.
And my question is, along with getting in, if you were to enter from the north side, if your door is on the north side rather than...
Well, that would be the preference, sir. But according to the CCB, we need a 15-foot apron for the driveway for a vehicle to be parked in. We can't do that and still fit the garage up against the house.
The way you're doing it, you only have to have a 5-foot setback.
Yes, sir.
The alley.
Correct.
Then we have to have 15 for backing out.
Yes.
I have a quick, I'm just curious, but when I see the picture, it looks like there's a driveway going beside the house. Is it possible that there's a driveway that you would be driving in and out? Or?
We're actually going to remove it. We're going to leave underneath the portico or the carport, we're going to leave a large patio area, but we're going to remove all the other and put in lawn. It's a very small lot anyway. And so we want to add, and beautify it. And so that will all be coming out. Drew will be doing that work as well if it's approved.
Okay.
Are you
going to
fence it in at all?
Yes, sir. That's part of it. And then we also are going to be matching the exterior aesthetically. So we're going to do the same vinyl siding with the same compositional roof. Everything to match as best we can. White gutters, white soffit, all of that. I want to keep the integrity of the neighborhood and the home all together so it looks like it was intended to be there from the beginning.
Anything else for the applicant? Is there anyone in the audience wanting to speak to this, yes or no? Or?
Oh my God. As Steve mentioned, I'm Drew Harsin, H-A-R-S-I-N. Home address is 503 North 23rd Street here in Blair. Just wanted to follow up on Joe's question. Initial idea was to face the garage door north. Obviously, that would be ideal. City code didn't allow that, as you'd be backing out into alley access, which could pose some potential issues. I can see that. To kind of follow up with your question, we do anticipate that corner being less than ideal. However, the goal is to make it work for the homeowner. Cheat that building as far to the east as we are allowed, and widen that garage door in order to hopefully make that swing easier on the homeowners.
I didn't know if there's a better way to enter it than that way to give you more.
No, I follow you there. Like I said, the original plan was to come from the north. Obviously, that'd be most convenient.
Can you work something out with Taylor to come off of that lot?
That's been brought to the table as well, and we're hoping to maybe go that route here in the future. Our answers from the city were that would be a private matter at that point, though, and whether or not Brad will allow that is up to him at that point.
I see you showed the entrance, but when someone wants to leave the garage, you have to back up. There's going to be enough room for them to back so they can pull out to the driveway, or they don't want to back into the driveway. You got the direction arrows on there show entering but not exiting, because you're going to back up.
Right? Yes, sir. At that point, I suppose it'd be up to the homeowners, whatever they're most comfortable with, whether they want to swing their back end to the south and head out facing the alley, or if they're comfortable backing out and using their mirrors, they could go that route as well.
Anything else at that point? Does anyone else want to speak to this? Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to close the public hearing and we'll see what the commission wants to do.
No matter how you look at that, it's not an ideal situation.
Does someone want to make a motion?
I'll make the motion to approve it with the so that it ties in, the permit ties in with the 27th, however that needs to be worded.
With the CUP for the house. Mm-hmm. The property, I guess it's property.
So the house and garage go hand in hand for the 27th. Yeah.
Is there
second.
A second to that?
Second.
Is there any more discussion or amendments to that? Yes, go ahead, Joe.
Do I have to abstain from this because I have the property right next door?
Excuse me?
Do I need to abstain from this vote because
you know, the only conflict would be if you had financial interest in it that you do not.
I know, so good.
So please vote then. Not showing up on the screen, but it shows up on our computer.
It's showing on the machine, but not on the screen. For whatever. There we go.
There we go.
All council or all commission members present voting aye.
So we'll go to the next item, number 6. We'll have a public hearing to consider a conditional use permit renewal. Application submitted by Brian Shouten, I'm not sure exactly where I did it right, but of All Inc., 3708 Buckthorn Drive, Blair, Nebraska, for the continued use of a non-commercial repair shop on lot line 1, block 4, Oak Park, First Edition, a subdivision in Washington County, Nebraska, 10249 Cook Drive for 10 years. Yeah.
Good evening again. The applicant has contacted us late this afternoon and wishes for this item to be tabled until the next planning commission. So that is up to you to vote. If you would like to table it, you have to vote. If not, we can go forward and it's at the discretion of the planning commission.
Why did he want to table?
He was lives in Ocala and wasn't going to get back here in time.
This is just a renewal of something we've had before, right? I don't think
it is.
There's no changes, are there?
No, we did have one, and if I can get to the, I'll show you a quick. So it is on Cook Drive, in the Oak Park area. It is renewal. The zoning is ACH in that area, so it is a business area alongside the highway. And this is the building itself. It's a private garage, basically, for the people who own it. The only one comment we had was the fact that he followed all we were supposed to do when they got the conditional use permit before. They put gutters in, they've got their stormwater management. However, from the one person who called to complain, 7 months ago they had significant storms, there are tree limbs down, still on the right-of-way, and there are some branches that need to be trimmed also. That would have been part of the presentation. We have informed Mr. Shelton about that, and I don't know if that is the reason for him wanting to wait or not, but that is something that I definitely will be following up with him, saying, you know, whatever the outcome of this is, I will tell him. I said, by the way, we did have one complaint about all the trees and stuff in the right-of-way. Perhaps if it was tabled, that would give him time to address that issue, but that's neither here nor there. He just stated he could not make it from Ogallala in time for the meeting tonight.
But everybody in the area was notified that tonight was the night?
Yes, sir. So all notices went out. Everything was advertised as state requires, including the sign.
I know before he's had some people complain about water runoff running down in the street and stuff, but we're not having those kind of things. I guess my thing, and I don't know if it matters, but it seems like it's kind of, we don't need to go to another meeting with this thing. It's just pretty, to me, it's pretty straightforward.
So the issues before,
the tree limbs are still there. I drove over there. I didn't see any problems with tree limbs. So
yeah, man, I don't know if they're still there or not. I haven't been out there today. The conditional use permit did call for guttering to be put on there, and it does, gutter does come down. There is a stormwater management system there. However, there is a gutter on the back side. It looks like it has been damaged by branches or something. It's kind of lopsided, but that would have been on the back side. The gutter's here on the front side where the cement pad does leak, or excuse me, does drain onto the surface of the road, are intact and from all accounts working.
If we were to approve that permit tonight, and for some reason he was unhappy with that, can he come back with a modification to ask for us to look at that again? Or is it a done deal?
Well, you will obviously recommend to council.
Yeah, recommend.
Yeah, and then from there, yeah.
One, if you approve a recommendation tonight, say there's no opposition here, there's no letters of opposition there, to go ahead and recommend approval for whatever period of time, then if there is some reason he didn't like that, I guess, you know, which I can't imagine he wouldn't, he could present those arguments of change to the city council just like any other time,
right?
Because yours is a recommendation, is not a binding.
Yeah, no, I realize that, but I just, for some reason, he wanted to defend himself to be here. That was all I was going to
do. Yeah. He could one of two things. He could either ask the council to change it, anything that you did, or he could ask the council to resend it back to the planning commission for further study and recommendation.
If we table it, it won't go to the council.
I know.
So
my only question is, I remember when we did this the first time, there were some neighbors that were curious and complained about noise. Do they have race cars or something? And they're doing that. There's no complaints about noise or anything, right?
No, I've heard no complaints. Shelley, have you? The only thing was the branches and the trees.
Okay.
He did request for 10 more years on his application.
Okay.
clearance, there hasn't been too many complaints because nobody here.
Yeah. He's here. He might complain.
Newspaper.
Never know.
We don't mean to say you're nobody.
No, I've got complaints, but not related to that.
I don't. I'll open up to the public, but unless you have a talk on this issue. So I'll close the public meeting. What do you want to do with the council? Commissioner.
When he called this afternoon and said that he was just wanting to, he wasn't going to be here at 7 o'clock. And so he just didn't want to be here at 7:15 and we were waiting for him.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was one of the suggestions I had made to him. So, I mean, if you guys are willing to pass it on to the council, I don't think he'd mind.
I see that's a good idea.
I don't know why he would.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Complain about what you get.
Save him.
So, does someone want to make a motion?
I would recommend approval of conditional use permit as submitted.
For the 10 years. As submitted, okay. Is there a second to that?
I have a second.
Made a motion by Hansen, seconded by Schroeder. Is there any further discussion? If not, please vote. Oh, mine's supposed to be yay, not nay. I thought I said yes. Sorry.
It shows nay, but what's there?
It was supposed to be a yes and or a yay, and I somehow it nay for me.
So all yes, you vote yes then?
Yeah, fine. Mine's a yes.
So just let the record show you reflect that you're voting and voting yes.
All commission members present voting aye.
Okay, we're going to have a public hearing to consider ordinance amending the City of Blair zoning regulations, Article 3, Section 303, Article 5, Section 501, Article 7, Sections 701, 702, 703, 704, 705, and Section 1103 by adding and changing language regarding accessory structures in their setbacks. Jeff.
For your consideration, we've been doing some research. And we think it's time to actually address some of the issues here in the City of Blair concerning carports, other accessory structures, whether or not you're allowed to build a garage in your side yard, which at this point you're not. Basically, we're trying to get ahead of some of the changes that we've seen in the future after talking with other cities. Things like right now you can use a breezeway to extend your primary structure. Well, I'll have some examples of that. So what we've done is through some different language, we want to tighten up some of the ordinances. We want to change them. So like carports, which are not considered an accessory structure, are not regulated, will now be regulated. I did research through, obviously looking through our stuff, I came with South Sioux City, with Papillion, Lincoln, La Vista, talked a lot with people in Fremont, even some of the smallers, to try to get a handle on what everybody else has been doing. Hopefully, we've kind of gleaned the best of the best practices that we could hopefully incorporate into this ordinance. And so the option of a garage in the side yard would be nice. We want to add some design standards to these garages if they are in the side yard. So if you like, and I'll show you a couple examples. We have had a couple garages that have been placed in the side yards, even though somehow or another they slipped through, but actually they work out okay. They look pretty good, and I'll explain that in a little bit. Also, the better to find the differences between additions and accessory structures, kind of a clarification of what is an accessory structure and what counts as an addition. And then again, to set the design standards, to make sure these additions and accessory structures and their placement are more harmonious with that neighborhood. And what I would like to do is run through some of the pictures and then briefly go through the amendment changes and then step back up so we have a little bit more time to do it. But I would hope that we would actually, the commission would actually table this until next month. So after they see everything here, they might have a chance to drive around the city within the next 3-4 weeks and have an idea of what the changes would be, how things look at this point, what could change, what could not change. And then obviously you're able, any recommendations to fine tune this ordinance changes would be welcome.
So you want to show us some pictures of these things, and then we'll try, you're asking us to table it after that?
Well, yeah, and I'll go through the ordinance and the changes in there, and I'll just go through it real quick, then we'll step back to the top. Some of the definitions are changing. There's a lot of spelling, some grammatical things are going to change too, but we'll start off with this place on Colfax. This was built taller than here and larger because it is considered an addition because of that breezeway, which is basically a roof connecting the primary structure to the secondary structure. This is one of the ways of they were able to work around this. Now, I can't guarantee that whatever we change, somebody's not going to find a workaround. That's probably always going to happen. I can't look that far forward. I mean, because we want to be fair, but we also want to have some a good-looking city, some design, some neighborhoods that people can be proud of. So that's one of the options. Here's another one. As you can see, the accessory structure, which is joined by a breezeway, is part of the primary structure, is much taller. Right now, an accessory structure cannot be taller than a primary building. But because this is an accessory, is an addition, not an accessory structure, they were able to do that. That is also on Colfax. Here's some of the carport issues. This is carports out in front in the side yard. This is a tall double-decker in the side yard. This is the backyard where they got multiple carports. Again, we don't regulate carports, except for the fact that carports really could only have vehicles in them. This person has made good use of the carport for their firewood. I was talking about accessory structures in the side yard, which again is not allowed right now, but did slip through. Well, here's a couple examples of ways that was done. In fact, the language we'll be talking about is if you do have an accessory structure, i.e. garage, not an accessory structure, but specifically a garage in the side yard, obviously it cannot come out in front of the primary structure, as all accessory structures, but it has to match the color, construction, everything else. So this one was done rather well. This one also down here too, in the side yard, but it matches the design, matches the color, and construction materials. So this is kind of the one end scale to the other. Again, we'll go through this in a little bit afterwards. I thought I'd quickly go through and we'll talk about what this is here. This is accessory structures, what's changing. Anything in red with strike through is language that is existing, which will be removed. Anything in yellow is language that will be added. The majority of the discussions will be in the definitions. Again, some things are, as we change the fencing and more stuff, we've changed the language here to be more in sync with everything else. We've added things like portable storage units, shipping containers, tent structures, and canopies. Yard requirements are accessory structures here. We talk about unattached garages. Now, as we get into the areas here, like 702, what these are is that we go through each of the areas, RM, RMH, RML. There are certain languages that is being removed because we just don't enforce it anymore, like the 10 feet away from another structure.
Don't move yet.
Okay.
On number B there.
Yes.
It says side yard setback shall be 710 feet. I think that might
be. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry about that. That is a mistake. Should be 7. The idea with, if you're going to put a garage in your side yard, then you should follow the same setbacks as if it was a whole one big house. Now, if you put that garage in the backyard, you can go 5 feet or whatever it is. But in this case,
I want to point that out because yeah. it's just an error.
Yep.
Stuck in.
And that changes in each of the different districts because the setbacks for primary structures for side yards are a little bit changes. So, and that's, let's see, 702. Again, you can talk about unattached garages and it should be 7 feet. Mm-hmm. 705. You know, the language is pretty much the same except for that it tries to mirror the setbacks for the primary structure in the side yards.
Got a question.
Yes, sir.
right there, you said it has to be 4 feet away from the garage has to be 4 feet away from the resident?
Can we come back to that in a little bit?
Sure.
Again, we talked about accessory uses, carports are now considered structures. Carports can only be used for shelter and storage of motor vehicle, recreation vehicle equipment, major recreation equipment. Carports are limited to the rear yard. Carports shall be anchored to the ground for manufacturing structures. That is in none of our language right now, so that's something we do want to add. So going back up to the definitions, we talk about adding greenhouses, tent, canopy shelters, not including temporary ones, you know, less than 64 square feet, you know, tents and weddings. If somebody wants to set up a tent in the front yard for a graduation for the weekend, I don't think we really need to get all upset about that. You know, it's, we talked about the addition. Addition shall mean the expansion of primary structures. Here's a minimum. And here's a couple of things. The 40% here, and then the 4%, the space between the garage and that. These are numbers we chose because of just by talking about other places, we had to pick a number. So, i.e., this says that if you're going to do an addition and you want to put a garage or an addition onto your house, you either have to share a common roof line, so you have the same roof in there, or a common wall. And this at one point is 40% of that common wall. So if your side of your house is here, and you're going to add an addition, you at least have to have 40% of it sharing that wall. That number could change as you wish. It could be 50%, it could be less, it could be more. That is one of the options, you know, one of the things as a commission, is you get a chance to look around and see how things are. The talk about breezeways and clothes. The breezeway is a roof passage. The use of a breezeway to an attached garage accessory does not create an extension of the primary structure. Talks about carports up in here. Have they, Shelley, did they get a copy of this in their packet?
Yes.
Okay. Connex boxes are steel shipping containers. There has been talk amongst other cities. Brenda Wheeler, city clerk, has noticed that on her clerk's listserv, whatever you call it, of people are wanting to do, what do we do with these? Do you allow them in town? Stuff like this. Well, we really don't have any language that really prohibits them from being used an accessory structure. So we would like to have that. Of course, this would be residential only. This is just changes some of the language. It should have changed. This talks about garages being private garages, gazebos. We're removing the carport from that language. Again, portable storage units and moving containers. So that if you are moving your house or something like that, you're allowed to have them in your driveway for a while. Shipping containers, not allowed in residential districts as accessory structures. Tent structures or canopy tents. This is a yard substitute fence. So right here, Mr. Valeska, as you were talking about, we had to pick a number. So the idea was, and Rod was quizzing me on this, so you're going to allow someone to build a side yard. Well, how close do you get them to the house? I don't know. Because, well, you need to have a number. So we figured that ADA sidewalk's 3 feet, but if you have an ADA door, it's 36 inches. So we thought, well, our sidewalks are 4 feet. If you open a 36-inch door between your house and the garage, you probably want a little bit more space in there. It was a number we chose. Fremont, for example, uses only 3 feet. This is a number that if, as you're looking at things and deciding this, you could recommend a different number for that also.
So there isn't anything in there right now about how close you can build to your house. It could be 2 feet right now if you wanted.
Exactly. Except that under the when you get into the building department, under the IRC, you are, even if you build 4 feet, 2 feet, anything within 10 feet, you have changes because of the building code, which does not have anything to do with the zoning changes. That is just a building code where they require more fireproofing.
For firewalls.
Yes, sir. So again, located in the side yard. I know we've gone through it pretty quick. Hopefully you had a chance to look at this beforehand and maybe a little bit down the road.
I do have a question on 72.2, it's page 3. It had that, you have a kind of map. Yeah, this thing, yeah, that map there.
Okay.
The different things talk about AAA, but your A's in that map are all kinds of sizes and stuff, and I think that's confusing. I think if you're going to do A and then something different from the other A's, you somehow...
Right.
I was trying to make sense of that map and talking with you down below and when you're talking...
So this was left over from beforehand. This was just a simple map of showing, like... indicated as an A lot corner reversed right here as indicated in A is a lot defined as having which the frontage is at the right angles or approximate right angles, the interior angles. Basically, it's you almost have three fronts in here. There's a house.
But see, there's some other A's.
Right, there's A in here.
Now, this is a little bit different than what I had online because now you've got indicated as A and then you've crossed out D.
Right.
When I was looking online, I don't remember seeing it that way. But it was just confusing. It'd be better if I don't mind the map. It might help people. But every time you talk about a different piece of that map, it should be a different letter. So
I understand. This is what we had. And we can look at changing that somewhere down the road.
Because your A's are all different kind of shapes.
Right. There's A's here. There. It has to do with the right angles. Has to do with triple fronts.
I understand. And I think it's good to do
second
that.
Second fronts.
But when you're talking about whichever one you're talking about, you got to make sure we know which one up there you're talking about.
Right.
So, anyway, just a suggestion. I'm not telling you.
Nope, that's fine.
Wrong.
Yeah, I mean, the letters are there to be able to basically make it as a different class for each of those types of lots.
Right.
So your A's are generally your corner lots.
Right.
You know, you look there, those are all the corner lots.
Right angles.
And they'll go then to your definitions, so...
But sometimes some are three streets, like the A that's in that cul-de-sac part there, that's got three,
yeah.
You talk about that, it's like three different front yards, I think.
Yes, and it does have three different front yards.
It should be a different letter than the other A's is all I'm saying, so you can understand it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
For someone like me, I'm not a lawyer or anything, so it's, I want to make sure I understand what I'm looking for.
With your shipping containers? I agree, not having them in a residential setting. I mean, I don't want to look out and see one. But however, I know people that bury them for a storm shelter. Where here it says not allowed in residential use. What is that? Not allowed in residential district as a structure.
Right.
What about if someone wants to use it as a storm shelter and bury it? Something above ground or below ground?
Would that be considered a structure? Would be considered a structure in the scheme of the way it was built and stuff. But if it's below ground, what do we define this structure as, Rod? Anything above ground?
I guess I don't. We've never had that come up. I don't know. You know, we'd have to take a look at it, and over the next month we'll verbiage that back and forth and
I think
see.
You covered the condition above ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I've just seen people do that.
Right. As we look at structures, we look at a structure. If anything above the ground is built, a fence is a structure, an accessory structure, stuff like that. If you bury it,
no one's going to see it.
If you don't tell me about it, I'll probably never see it.
We'll see it in the neighborhood or anything.
Yeah. You know, same thing is if somebody ever wanted to maybe turn one of these into a house and they could pass all of the IRC requirements, stuff like that, there's really nothing preventing them from doing that.
Yeah.
Because it's to be used as shipping containers and storage and stuff like that. I've seen them done, and they can be done, I think, as long as it passes the IRC building codes, we couldn't really stop them. That's something you could also change too if you felt that nobody wants, that they want to stay ahead of that. That's certainly your prerogative. But other things like tents, there's people that have tents in their backyards and you may have two accessory structures, now you throw up a tent, one of those tents that you buy at a big box hardware store. Well, so those get pretty big also. The carports was the bigger thing. You could, because we're not regulating them, you could have three, four, five carports in your backyard. Not much we can do about that.
Were you going to, send us out some addresses or something to look at?
I certainly will do that.
It might be nice to do that and show and point out this address. It's got this problem, which we may hopefully resolve or something.
Right.
I would like that. I don't know if anyone else cares about that. But if we're going to be voting this thing, it might be nice to see what kind of people we are.
Again, in talking with some of the other cities, some of the other planning over in Fremont, like I said, you know, we talked about some of these things, and it's just exploding so fast that I'd rather try to get ahead of it so we don't have something come in and have to grandfather it in.
Any other questions for Jeff? Staff? So you would like us to table it, have a vote to table this thing?
Yes. If you vote to table it and it is tabled, then the advertising we've done and all that stays in place.
And something like this, it's just nice to table it, give you a month to think about it after you've had an explanation, so that if you have other questions, we can tweak it and, you know, before any final adoption, or gives people an opportunity that maybe they hear say, well, I really like having 15 carports on my property, you know, and want to try to make their case to the Planning Commission and to the council. It gives them that opportunity.
You know, one thing on this, on the carports again, and not to dwell on them a lot, but we are, right now you can use them for an automobile. Well, people have trailers with RVs, they have trailers with motorcycles or boats or stuff like that. This is allowing them also to use those carports in your backyard only, but, you know, be able to put your boat back there. I mean, they do it a lot anyway. This would just, you know, be one way to allow it so we don't have to worry about them trying to force it and let people have a chance to use those as they were designed. But because it's now regulated, you know, they can't have three or four carports.
Question about the carport back
there. Yeah, go ahead.
You got to be able to get some of your vehicle or whatever it is back there. So I don't know if you drive behind it or.
Well, as an accessory structure, much like the Doolins and their garage, if you were to have a carport in your backyard, you're going to be required to have it 15 feet off the property line so you can pull in so you just don't back out. We don't regulate that now also.
They could put a carport up right next to the edge of the property line, correct?
Right now they could, yes. Well, we would tell them that within 5 feet because of that, but even that way we don't have language. And I believe we don't even have language to keep them out of the front. Technically, out the front of the house.
Right now, we've interpreted it to say that, but it's not clear. So we want to make sure that it's defined and so forth.
Okay. Any more questions?
No, that's
exactly. And again, if you have questions on specific things, so be sure to get a hold of Jeff and let him help get you the information so that it's easier for you to make a good, sound decision.
Didn't somebody come in or something and sit on 16th Street?
Or 16th Street.
They came in to get a permit on one of those or something?
Actually, I think the house you may be talking about was, they asked for a variance.
Yeah, the front yard. Yeah. It was.
But they did attach that to the house.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not a freestanding carport. I believe, actually, if you go up the street, you'll see a freestanding carport in the front yard on the east side of 16th Street. And then almost across the street, you'll see the addition. And that was because it was truly a hardship because of the front of the house. But that was added on. So that would be an attached carport.
Okay. I got a motion from the commission. One more number.
I'll make a motion we table this until the next meeting.
March
1st or 2nd?
It's 2nd, then.
Motion by Valesco, second by Hanson to table this until the next meeting. Any further discussion? Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
Report from staff.
Anything, Rod? Aaron? Nothing here?
Okay, motion to adjourn.
Second.
You made a motion.
All moved.
Please vote.